Peter Eads here. I'm on Redmond Hay River Road, and I've got about 60-odd alpacas here. And these are the girls we're looking at the moment. They're very, very affectionate. Well, some are very affectionate, some are not. And the boys are pretty much the same. But they're very beautiful animals. As I say, they're very attentive, and they seem to like human company, or they like knowing what's going on around the place, and they think it's jolly nice.
So how did this all start off?
I only have to look at their beautiful eyes, and that's why I like them. So I got a couple of males originally, and then I got a couple of females, and I started breeding, and I got some matings done outside before I got my own male. But I've stopped breeding now. I've got about 60-odd here, and I've got enough to talk to and scratch, and it takes me long enough to do that without worrying about anything else now. So, but no, they're very beautiful animals, and they're very affectionate. They use them a lot for guard animals too, with sheep against foxes. They don't kill the foxes, but they don't let them get anywhere near the animals, and particularly lambs, so they do a good job. But I like them. As I say, I'm probably eccentric in that I reckon they're beautiful animals, and I don't treat them as animals as such, and I certainly wouldn't be eating them. They're just about like my family, so it's as simple as that.
So if you had a little bit of space in your backyard, alpacas, are they easy to keep?
Well, I'm a little bit annoyed about a few alpaca people that sell them, because they sell them to people that are not aware of how they have to look after them, and they're a browsing animal. They do like a bit of area to move around in, and I wouldn't say they're a backyard type of animal. The other thing is that they do need a bit of concentrate feed, and they do need a bit of green feed and a bit of hay. And I think they're never really told what has to happen, because each year you have to shear them, and you have to cut their toenails and do that a couple of times a year. And as I say, I'm annoyed at other alpaca people that don't really explain to those buying them that there are, you know, some things to look after with them. And to get them to a shearer, you can't get a shearer to come out and shear a couple of animals. Well, you can, but it pays through the nose for it. So you're better off if you can just take them back to a stud where you bought them, or somebody close handy, which I do here. And when we share ours, there's quite a few around the place that bring their own animals in here, and we get them shorn all together. So.
And back to the toenails, they've only got two.
Well, no, they've got four. They've got two on the front and two on the back.
This is true.
Of course, yeah. And but they do get very long, and we trim them up. I don't think it's detrimental to them getting long, particularly this time of the year, because they slip on the dry grass otherwise. But
the toenail clippers must be enormous.
They're the same as we use on sheep for cutting sheep's toenails. Yeah, exactly the same. So, and they're very good.
Oh, and they make some funny noises.
Well, they do. They different animals make different noises, and they're all very different in their temperament, very much different. This one here's a typical female. One day she wants to be looked after, and the next day she doesn't. She'll turn around and spit at you. And there's other ones that, you know, they sort of knock you over trying to get a bit of attention, but some of them don't want to have a bar of you at all. But typical women, of course. This is the females we're looking at now, not the males.
Are they a big commitment?
Not really. They're pretty well self-contained. They look after themselves. As I said, they do like a bit of human contact for some reason or other. They seem to be quite affectionate, and they're very pleased to see you when you come home every day.
They're very inquisitive.
They are. You shift a rock or a bucket or something or other, and they'll notice, and they'll pick it up straight away. Yeah, she's good. But I've got a few strays here from other people around the countryside, and this is her. This is my prettiest ever one. You heard us talking about her, didn't you, girl? But, yeah, she was a bit left out when she was born, and I looked after her a bit, and her and another one together, and then they came good in the end. But normally the only trouble we've ever had with them, which upsets me, is during birth or, you know, with the crea, and that's a bit of a worry. You've got to put your hand underneath their head. If you put it over the top of their head, they can't see. So if you put it underneath their head, they can see your hand, and they'll smell you first. They're very one person animals, and until they get used to you, or used to your smell, or used to your movements, they're a bit sketchy. As I say, they vary immensely in their personality. Something shocking, absolutely amazing. And you don't have to be naughty either. You're just a visitor, remember? Yes. Don't growl. So, but no, they are pretty well one person animals, until they've got used to you, and it takes them a while to get used to you. We drench them once a year. And we inoculate them for Clostridial diseases. Not that we've ever had any. We did have Barber's poleworm at one stage with one of them. I lost three, died from that. But they do get Barber's poleworm, which we're told they didn't. But they're not really they're certainly not a financial thing as far as making money out of their fleece goes. If you're selling animals originally, they were quite dear. I mean, that old one you were looking at, where is she behind me? This one here, she was $18,000 when we bought her. And another one alongside her was $16,000, so it costs you quite a bit of money then. The same animal today, you probably, you know, you might pay a couple of $1,000s for it.
So. I think I just got spat on, Peter.
No, she was just clearing her throat.
All right.
Yeah. Which one was it? Was it you, Tish?
It was that one.
Or Serene.
So it's been in the newspaper recently, eating alpacas.
Yes.
A few restaurants in Albany is serving it up on the menu now.
I haven't heard about that, but no, it's certainly not my alpacas.
Not yours?
No.
So you haven't given it a crack?
No, I haven't tasted it. I don't want to taste it, and I'm not interested in tasting it. As I say, you can't sort of cut your own family up and start eating them. But like I say, I'm probably eccentric, and there are other people that look at them as a money-making thing or just an animal, and that's it, or a cow or a sheep or something. Well, that doesn't wash with me, I'm afraid, so... Yeah.
Is fencing an issue for them?
No, just ordinary cyclone fence or rabbit-proof fence or even four barbs or anything. I mean, they don't go through fence. You're going to just have a one line up and they'll stay there. They don't move around much. And this one here, she's the biggest alpaca we've got. Her name's Jenny D. Everybody thinks of Jenny Craig when they see her.
But, I know, she's got a bit of weight to lose still.
Well, she has. But they are curious, and as I say, they do like roaming around the countryside. They like swimming too. They like their water. Oh, yeah. Hot days, they'll go down the soak and have a walk in there and have a swim.
Yeah, they're good swimmers, are they?
Well, they don't actually swim. They just walk in and stand there, and they get wet halfway up, and then they come out and they find the dirtiest piece of sand or dirt or where you've had a fire and all ashes, and they lay in it and they roll in it. So the white ones come out half white and half black. So they look a bit silly. Light my great lecture.